Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here with our Survivor Final Six exit interviews, where we're going to be talking with all of the Final Six from last night's Survivor David versus Goliath finale, including the winner. Spoiler alert, if you haven't, why would you listen to this if you haven't watched the finale? Nick Wilson is going to be up first here for us today, here on our exit interview special. Then, once I get done talking with the Final Six today, I'm going to be chatting with Brett LaBelle. He's going to be here in the studio, and I saw him for a couple of seconds last night, so looking forward to catching up with him. Originally, we were going to talk with Josh. Josh had a lot of personal issues going on this week. Him and Emily had to say goodbye to their longtime pet. Their cat had to be put down this week, and so Josh is going to be taking some time away from the podcast over these next couple days, and so we're thinking of Josh and Emily, and so we will catch up with Josh down the road after he has a few days away from everything going on, and so we're thinking of him and wishing him the best. So I will be catching up with Brett LaBelle today later on, and so be on the lookout for that podcast in your feed coming up on Friday. And of course, if you're going to be doing any last-minute holiday shopping, like sad to admit that I am also going to be doing, hey, check out our associate link for Amazon.com, Amazon.com/shop/RHAP. A great way to get those last-minute gifts. Of course, all of the Prime shipping that they do on Amazon.com. Lots of the last-minute gifts available for shipping, and you could use our link and you help support Rob as a podcast, and don't pay any extra when you use our link, amazon.com/shop/RHAP, or you can find the banner and link at robhasawebsite.com. All right, we have our Survivor winner, newly crowned Survivor winner, here on the line with us, and let's go ahead and say hello to Nick Wilson. Nick, good morning.
Oh, Rob, what's up?
Nick, how you holding up, buddy?
I'm holding up a little bit.
yeah. You know, it's amazing what that $1 million win will help you get through in the course of a very busy 24 hours. Anyway, Nick,
it's the greatest exhaustion I've ever felt.
yes, and the best cure for a hangover they ever invented. Nick, so last night we saw you ending up taking home the win and the $1 million prize. Did you know going into last night that you had the game wrapped up, or did you think that there was a chance that Mike had the votes last night?
Yes, I knew going into last night that I won. Right after Final Tribal, I wasn't sure, but I think after I'd been home for a couple weeks, I knew. Because I just started counting, and yeah, I felt like I had at least six, no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was very interesting where that you ended up in the final three with the Jebeni crew. I mean, it seemed like on the show it sort of went back and forth in terms of, you know, whether or not that was really a thing. But was that a set final three for a while? And if so, for how long?
Well, I think going into the merge, I was happy to get back with my David crew, but I remember, and on the secret scenes, it shows me, I think after when Carl was voted out, that's when I started saying, you know, my dream final three is to go to the end with Mike and Angelina. So I think the Jebeni thing, it was real for a long time, but we kind of got put back in our David and Goliath structures for a little while and maybe didn't exactly play with each other for a few votes, but then eventually was able to get back together. And another thing I'm surprised they didn't show last night was Elizabeth said that in Ponderosa, she would ask the people who worked there, like, what different words meant in the Fiji language. So she would be like, what does Zuku mean? What does Tiva mean? And so she asked Jebeni, and the guy says, oh, Jebeni, that's a great word. That means champion. And like her and John and only a couple people were at Ponderosa, and they said they just laughed because the Jebeni tribe was such a disaster. And then we ended up being the Jebeni three at the end. So I'm surprised they left that out.
Yeah, and really, it turned out to be a very important part of the game that the tribal council, where you guys are going to vote out Lyrsa, you know, in the real time, it was like, okay, well, this is just, you know, the last vote before the merge, but you guys talk about that this is going to change the whole rest of the game, what we do here tonight. And it really did turn out to be true. I want to go back to the final five where there was a point where, you know, you felt like you had to win immunity there, or that you were going to be the next one to go out after Davey. Had you not won that immunity, do you think that you would have been voted out at five?
That's an interesting question, because I either me or somebody on the jury asked them at Final Tribal if I needed to win the next showdown. And Mike and Angelina both said, no, I didn't need to win, that I would have made it to the end, whether I won the challenges or not, because we were working together as a three. But I mean, Mike is such a good player. Like, he's a gamer. I honestly think, say if Allison wins Final Five immunity, he's going to be thinking about taking me out. He has to. But also, I mean, me and Angelina were close at that point after Davey gone home, and she was really looking for a good opportunity to play her idol effectively. I think that if I didn't win and Mike wanted to turn on me, I still think there's a good probability that Angelina would play her hidden immunity idol on me. So it's one of those things. I'm glad I didn't have to find out. I'm glad I just won and could, you know, go on to the Final Four. But they did say at Final Tribal that it wasn't necessary for me to win.
So at that Final Five, also, there was some talk about where Mike had told the Angelina plan to Kara, who then told it to Allison and said, hey, we need to vote for Mike. And Kara came to you with this idea to vote out Mike. Was the reason that it didn't go through because you were not willing to do that?
Actually, it was Kara. She wasn't willing to vote out Mike. So it was more Allison that was her move to go for Mike. And I understood it. I mean, at that point, I realized and recognized Mike as the jury threat he was. So I was on board to maybe make a move against him. And so once I got a long time with Kara, she basically said, yeah, Mike's a threat, but so is Allison. And she said no, so that she didn't want to vote out Mike. So at that point, I couldn't even entertain it. We didn't have three votes. So that was that.
How did you change up your game after the moment where Gabby and Christian flipped against the Davids to vote out Carl?
Yeah, so I think I put a lot of stock into the David Five, and we used all our advantages. Once they flipped, it really made it more fluid. And for me, it felt less like David versus Goliath and more like everybody playing Survivor with the people they want to play with or who they have the opportunity to play with. So from day one, like my strategy going in was, you know, I'll play with anybody, I'll play with everybody. I feel like sometimes I kind of lost track of that. When I was with the David Five, I felt like that was my five. But once Christian and Gabby turned on Carl, that opened me back up to saying, okay, I'll play with anybody and everybody, and I'll write down anybody's name. So then I had a chance to get out Gabby, and I did. And then even the vote after that, I was choosing between Christian and Allison, and I chose to vote for Christian, which is something I would have never done if they hadn't made the first move.
Was there one vote that you got in the Final Tribal Council that really surprised you that you got?
I mean, I felt confident in my game. I felt like I could have beat anybody at the end. I felt like I played the best game out there. But still, I mean, you know, I didn't, you know, Dan, I'd only spent a few days with Dan. So I felt like, yeah, I wouldn't have been surprised if Dan voted for Angelina. But I felt like I did a good job at the Final Tribal of explaining my game in like a coherent and rational way that I was able to make people see what I had done out there. So as far as getting the votes, I felt like I earned them with my Final Tribal performance.
Was there any vote that you didn't get that surprised you?
Yeah, I was surprised Christian voted for Mike. And I don't mean that in any disrespectful way against Mike or Christian, because Mike played a great game. He absolutely earned every vote he got. And I don't blame anybody for wanting to vote for him. But I did think Christian would vote for me.
When did you decide that you were going to give names to all these different alliances? Was it the kind of thing where you gave one name to an alliance and like, oh, this is great, I'm going to keep doing it? Or did you come into the game thinking that you were going to do that a lot?
Yeah, so as you know, I love Big Brother, and that's like a Big Brother thing kind of is the alliance names. So yeah, at first I just thought it would be fun, and like I thought it would be funny if me and Elizabeth called each other the Thoroughbreds and like had a little secret alliance name. Like, it just felt like fun, and I wanted to have fun out there. Well, then I noticed that Elizabeth like felt a really strong kinship with me, and like when Carl and Pat were talking about maybe me being the first one out, like Elizabeth came to me and she was like, "I gotta tell you, Nick, like I can't let a Thoroughbred go down." And like I realized like, oh my gosh, like this is like helping me build these strong relationships with people. So I kind of just thought, man, maybe this is like a strategy that can work. And so I started making more and more one-on-ones, and then I had the Mason Dixon with Christian, and that was like such a huge part of my game for such a long time. And Christian is somebody who is a good player and wants to have fun playing. It's fun to call each other Mason and Dixon. I mean, that's just part of Survivor. When you're having fun, like people want to play with you. So I think it was an effective strategy. I didn't go out there thinking that I was going to do that and that it was going to be some genius move or anything. I just felt like I kind of saw how it was affecting the game and adjusted.
Did you have any names for alliances with more than two people, or was it only for two-person alliances?
No, so the producers or, you know, the cameras and my confessionals, they had me like go through these alliance rules a few times. And I mean, there's just so much going on.
The Nick Wilson rules.
Didn't make it. Yeah. Yeah. There was the alliance rules. And the first one was like, always come up with a fun, catchy name that has to do with like, it's like, yeah, make a name that has to do with like where somebody's from or what they do or something that can like make them feel good about the alliance or like a name that reminds them of something good. And then the second one was like, try to have a fun symbol if you can. And then I think the third one was, never put a number in the alliance name. And that's something I got from you.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah. It's like, oh, level six. Well, now, you know, if somebody else finds out about it, now they know there's six people in it. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think that was the only three rules.
Good to hear that you were paying attention, Nick. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah. So you mentioned about that there was a chance that you could have been the first person out of the game. Pat said that quite a bit in the exit press that you were going to be going out. Do you reject that you were going to be the first person voted out of the David tribe?
Yeah, I think I do. To an extent. I mean, I'm glad I didn't have to find out. I'm glad we didn't go to tribal council. But my name was really getting thrown around on day one, and then I was able to recover. And so it would just be a question of like, how quickly and by how much did I recover? And, you know, was it day two when everybody loved me, or was it day three? Or I mean, I certainly think that I would have gotten some votes at least, but I don't know if it would have been me to go home or not. Would I just sit there and try to count the six? I just don't know.
Yeah. Last night we saw that you were the first person since they've adopted the new fire making at the Final Four to win the Final Four immunity and then go on to win the game. Did you have any thoughts about how you were going to handle the Final Four fire making heading into that, whether you won immunity or whether you didn't?
Man, I'm telling you, the Final Four challenge, I actually like it. And being in the game and being in that position, it makes it very difficult on the players to figure out what decisions to make. It puts way more thought into the Final Four vote than there's ever been, in my opinion. And so, I mean, I didn't want to make fire just because I didn't want to risk losing it. So I wanted to win immunity no matter what. But there is also something to be said for the person who makes fire and wins. I mean, that's an accomplishment, and that looks good in front of the jury. But for me, I wanted to win the challenge if I could. That was my first motivation. But I really love the challenge. I think it's a good twist, and I think it's not surprising that in only the second season they have the twist. There's the first tie ever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think there will ever be another 10-0-0 vote again. Like, there's just going to be more threats at the end, strategic players are going to make it to the final three. And I think it's going to make for more exciting final travels and final votes.
you put Mike and Kara into the fire making. Were you more scared of one of the two of them?
Well, here's why I think it was such a tough decision. I don't think there was anything I could have done that was so impressive that the jury would say, oh, Nick's a threat person. Now he should win. But I do think that there was a move I could make to where people would say, wow, why would he take this person? Was he an idiot? And like, so there's potentially a move you could make that could lose me the game. So I felt like it was a tough position to be in, because if I took Mike, then people might think that was a dumb move. And then I might lose the game, or Mike might get more credit. So I just basically took what I thought was the safest route and taking Angelina, because it was something that I could explain to the jury. It was a rational decision. It's almost like a position where I didn't want to get too cute. I just wanted to make a decision that I could explain and hopefully take somebody that I thought had the least probability of beating me in the end.
Okay. Nick, I know you had a lot of fun out there. How eager and or interested are you in playing Survivor again, or do you feel like that you got nowhere to go but down?
Well, I probably have nowhere to go but down, but I would still play again. I don't care. I mean, I don't care if I do bad the second time, or like if I do like what Tony did or anything. Mm-hmm. It don't matter. I mean, it's Survivor. Like, if you have a chance to play, you should play no matter what. Just like, put me on a plane and pick 18 or 20 other people and, like, anytime, anywhere, like, I will play again if I'm given the opportunity.
All right. Well, Nick, I know you got a very busy day of interviews to get to. Hope that we have the opportunity to catch up in a longer setting sometime soon. But again, congratulations to you and your family on a job well done.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Rob. And you helped. Being a patron helped. It really did.
All right. Well, thank you, Nick. I'll put that on the poster. All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Nick, thank you so much, and all the best, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Rob.
All right. Take care. All right, everybody, there you have it. Nick Wilson, your winner of Survivor, David versus Goliath. Nice job on the season. I thought he did a nice job on the exit interview as well. We covered a lot of ground, which is not always easy to do, especially after a short turnaround between the finale night and when we do these exit interviews the morning after the finale. So really great job once again by Nick, and I'm sure that we will have a longer interview with Nick coming up very soon. All right, let's switch gears and bring in our runner-up from this season of Survivor, and I see that we have Mike White on the line up next. Hey, Mike, how are you? Good morning.
Morning.
Mike, how are you doing today?
Hungover.
Which is worse, today or the day after you were looking for the idol after drinking the wine last night?
I didn't get hungover after drinking the wine. I don't know. I feel worse today.
Okay. Mike, after this whole experience, first off, job well done on 39 days, making it all the way to the end and ultimately second place. Was it a disappointment to get so close but then ultimately come up short?
I don't want to talk about this. You know what I want to talk about, Rob? You're a jerk.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Well, please go on. So many people are saying, finally, somebody is talking about what they want to hear about.
Okay, so this is my beef with you. Okay.
Okay.
So first of all, we met. You know we met, right?
Yes.
Okay. And two, like when on my CBS bio they said, "Who are you going to play the game?" Like I said, you. Do you know that?
Yes.
Okay, so you know this. So I'm like thinking, like, you know, so I'm checking out your podcast while they're airing it, and like, oh, like, okay, well, he's gonna, like, you know, I'm already, like, you know, giving unto Caesar what is Caesar's. But like, he just, the very first time it was like, oh, it was my first with my bio photo, which, like, we were like, whoa, oh my God, this guy, like this is not going to be his new headshot. And then I was like, I actually went back and looked at the photo. I was like, oh, is this a bad photo? No, this is just what I look like. So like, starts there.
Well,
I was like, okay.
Mike, I apologize. I thought that the sun was in your eyes in the photo.
But then at the beginning, you're like,
Photos of you.
No, dude, it's just me. And actually, I went to CBS. This is funny. I was like, oh, I guess my photo's bad. So like, I don't know. And then like, they were like, literally, that's the best photo. They like showed me all the photos. I was like, oh yeah, it is the best photo. But anyway, whatever.
Okay.
But then you start talking about like what my game is going to be. And you're like, oh, yeah, he's not going to do well. He's not going to do well. And then, like, on the next podcast, like, this was early on, it was like, I think I was too easy on Mike White. I actually think he's definitely not going to do well. It was like, okay, so yeah, he does not believe I'm going
to
do well.
See, but you get to have the last laugh because you did do well.
Yeah, but even then later, Rob, like, later when I was down to, like, the final eight, like, there was, like, some question, like, oh, did you think that Mike, are you surprised that Mike White made it to the final eight? And you're like, no, I'm actually not that surprised. What I am surprised is that they chose him over Christian for the basketball challenge. Like, Jesus Christ. Hey. I can't even get you to, like, say, oh, yeah, no, actually, you played a good game. It was like, no, I can see that. Like, I don't know, whatever. I'm just surprised you got picked for the freaking na-na-na.
Mike, this is the best exit interview that I've ever done.
And I'm not done. Yes. I'm not done.
Yes.
Anytime, here's my impression of you.
Yes.
You'd have somebody on the thing, and you'd be like, so what do you think of Mike White? What do you think of Mike White? And they'd be like, oh, you know, I like it. You know, he's good or whatever. I like him. Yeah. Okay, are you a fan of his films? Are you a fan of Mike White? Are you a fan of his movies? And they'd be like, well, oh, I like School of Rock. Oh, yeah, have you ever seen the Emoji Movie? I got a DVD for the Emoji Movie I can give you. Yep. I'm like, Jesus
Mike,
Christ.
Mike, I'm going to send you a DVD of The Scorned, and then we can be...
Yeah, how would you like it, Rob, if you, like, heard me on something, and I'm like, are you a fan of Rob Cesternino? Are you a fan of Rob? Are you a fan of his? Like, oh, yeah, he's good. Well, have you heard his Lisa Mattresses commercials with his wife? Really? I could burn you a DVD of that. I worked on the Emoji Movie for 2 weeks, and it's not covered by the WGA, so they can put your name on it, and you take the money. Like, whatever. But yeah. It's like, I mean, I've made 15 or whatever movies.
Yeah.
Go check out some of my other shit, dude. You don't respect
me. I should. I apologize.
I know you're so busy with The Walking Dead and the Emoji Movie, but fucking, some people respect me. You don't, like, whatever. But are you a fan of the Emoji Movie? Are you a fan of Mike White? Whatever, dude.
That's still the impression to me. Mike, well, let me just say.
No, I like him. Like, are you sure? Have you seen one of his later works? Have you seen the Emoji Movie? Oh my god! And this is the guy I was like, oh yeah, I hope that, like, I'll have my game like Rob Cesternino because he's such a good judge of people. I was like, oh my god, this guy can't give me a freaking two positive words. This whole freaking.
Let me just rebuttal in terms of the breakdown of the game, because I felt like that your game really kicked into gear when you got to seven. I felt like that there was the flip at nine where let me tell you how I saw it, and then you can tell me what I missed. But I felt like that you really kicked into gear at seven when you were working on flipping the vote against Christian, and then I thought that the vote against Davey was another great move, and I thought that you came on very strong at the end.
Thanks.
Mike, tell me about some of the things I missed along the way.
The truth is, the game is a social game. It's a 90% social game. And it's hard to depict, like, why people, it's like how you get into a position of influence. And it's something, you know, like, that was building, you know, it's like, all, like for me, like, I, like, the five people at the end were people that all, I, you know, I'd had created this, like, final two relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's like, it is a hard, like, I mean, it's not just you, like, a lot of people are like, he's doing nothing. Like, but at the same time, like, you know, what you're doing there, it's like, you know, it's a social game. It's just like Kara, like, she played a great social game. Like, it's easier, like, on, what's weird is on the island, it's like, you know, like those big vote out, like the big tribals that everybody got excited about where the Davids played all their advantages. It's funny how, like, those play when you're there. It's almost like, huh? Oh, I don't know. Okay. Well, let's go back to playing the game. It's almost like they're like weird, like, distractions from, like, the social game that is the essence of Survivor. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Which is not to say they're not. I'm not discounting that part of it, but it's just funny. Like I just there are all these times where I stuck my neck out, like Goliath Strong, but like then they never came for me. Part of it is like how you're working everyone. Do you know what I mean? It's like you make mistakes, but then how you stay in the game and how you like, how do you bob and weave? And it's not necessarily, you know, it's like people talk about it as far as big moves, you know, but I mean, it's, you know, I don't know what I'm saying, but it's, I definitely toward the end, it was like, I felt like it was more obvious what I was doing, but.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that, you know, had you played in an earlier season that was not as idol and advantage heavy, that your game would have been better recognized?
I don't know. I mean, you know, it felt like with the jury, it was pretty recognized. But as far as like how they are you talking about like how that's aired or something?
I guess you could talk about it both ways. Do you feel like you get the win, and do you feel like that it's shown with less focus on sort of like the finding the idols and then playing of the idols and sort of the shock and awe that happens at these tribal councils? Do you feel like that there's more attention that they're able to give to your game?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. And I think that honestly, like the way that they've now structured like the tribal and like, you know, what they, you know, it's like you definitely feel like they want a winner who they can show how they won. You know what I mean? Like they don't want to show a winner who played like a kind of under the radar social game that was effective. You know what I mean? Because I just think it's hard to, you know, it's not satisfying. And I think that would have been the case had I had won.
So from what I understand in terms of the design of your game, that you were not necessarily the person that was out in front making the move, but you were the person who was advising the move. And I felt like that there was a secret scene that really demonstrated this particularly well a couple of weeks ago, which I did talk about on a couple of occasions, where you were sort of painting yourself as the advisor to these moves, which served you well to get to the end. But is that a difficult game to explain to the other players at the end, where that I was actually the one who was, you know, putting the poison in your ear?
Yeah, I mean, you know, what's funny is like I actually feel like I had more votes going into the final tribal than I had coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely think that you know, the juries are so big now that I think the people at the early end of the jury, like Elizabeth and John and Dan, I don't think they were, I mean, I did play with them, but like they weren't really there for the last, you know, like huge chunk of it. So it's like, and it is weird to be like, I do feel like they didn't really, you know, at that point I was kind of on my heels, you know, and not really, I hadn't like kind of wormed my way back into some, you know, leverage.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I just don't think they had the same, it was one of those things where I was like, I'm never going to get those votes. Cause they're never going to, you had to be there kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, so I think I was more successful with the later, boots, because I think those people were seeing, you know, like cause I was also like, my whole thing was like playing this kind of like, I'm just here for, you know, the sunsets and, you know, like I'm not a threat and like I can't find my canteen. And like I was, you know, playing this sort of dopey, you know, whatever guy sitting on the beach watching the sunsets. And I think that like, you know, that was their impression. And I hadn't really been able to show what I was doing out there over time with them.
Now, Mike, last night we saw Davey get voted out, and he said, okay, he turned around and he said, whoever put this blindside together, you just got my vote for the finals. But then ultimately Davey voted for Nick. Do you feel like that Davey should have given you his vote?
I knew Davey was never going to vote for me. I mean, I feel like maybe that was just some theatrics heading out of there on his part. I don't know. Davey was definitely about like, you know, just, you know, you got to respect the gameplay. And I do think he probably really respected Nick's gameplay, because it was, you know, a little, you know, he's, you know, they'd worked so closely together. But yeah, no, that was not one of the votes that I was ever considered getting.
Okay. Mike, have you ever contemplated going on to Celebrity Big Brother? Would you be the first person to ever complete the CBS trifecta?
No.
No, you're down on Big Brother?
No, I don't really watch Big Brother, but for me, it's kind of like the adventure of, like, you know, it's like I want to get out of LA. Like, I have to give, like, sitting in a soundstage in Burbank for like weeks on end, eating like crappy food. It sounds like I've already done that. That's what I do most of my life anyway.
Is there anything in particular that you feel like that happened out there that you wish would have been shown?
Well, you know, there was times I'm ribbing you, I came away after the results of the thing and being like, oh, I played a good game. Like, and I, you know, like it was, it, you know, in, you know, there were times I would watch an episode and be like, oh, I felt like you saw it last night. Like people were like, you know, you saw the other players talking about my game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was news to the audience. You know what I mean? And so there was a part
which
of me, I was like,
a part of the audience.
Right. No, but it's understandable. It's like, I see why people feel that way based on, you know, it's like you only, you know, like they are crafting. I mean, you know, I think they've done an incredible job with it. Like, I do think this show is like, considering how complicated it all is, you know, and how little time they have, I would not say it's like it's completely accurate except for like all the misdirects.
Mm-hmm.
But like, yeah, there's just certain things that it's just hard to, you know, depict. And like, there's times, you know, just like, I mean, I'm not really somebody who like, I mean, I listen to your podcast, Rob, just as a way to torture myself.
Well, not
but
anymore.
In general, I don't go online and, you know, read all the, like, whatever, the screeds. But I, you know, there was times where, you know, you do find yourself in a wormhole and you're like, oh, they, everybody sees me as, like, this, like, you know, goat who's doing nothing out there. And I was like, that's not, I mean, like, that part of you just go, no, I played a better game than that. But,
yeah.
But that's, you know, it is, it's being able to play it and do that was, you know, worth whatever, you know, frustrations of like, oh yeah, you had to be there for those moments.
Yeah. Well, Mike, I know you got to run, but let me apologize again that my goal is not to ever offend. And
I know, Rob. There was times I was like, is he like, I was like, he must think that I just would never listen to Rob has a podcast or something. Like, maybe he just doesn't know I'm out there like listening just like all the other,
you know, I did not think that you were listening, but I do have to say that, you know, the reason why I would ask people about your work is I wanted to, if people were like, oh my god, I love School of Rock, I
are
love Mike on the Amazing Race,
no, I love School of Rock, what about his later work, what about the Emoji Movie? Jesus Christ, I've had 3 movies come out since the Emoji Movie. Yeah. I worked on the movie for 2.5 weeks.
I mean, enough movies.
I don't
Mike.
Ever.
That's the only
I don't.
One I, saw.
Like, I like the people that were involved in that movie, but and I'm not. It usually is not a bone of contention for me. But like the fact that like you could not get through one interview without bringing up the Emoji Movie. I was like, Jesus Christ, is that like one of your like? I mean, were you traumatized in the movie? What the hell?
I was not traumatized.
Did you do a podcast?
I did do a podcast.
Did a podcast on that movie.
We did do a podcast, and that's why it was sort of like top of mind. So again, Mike, I apologize, and I wish you nothing but the best, and congratulations on all your success in and outside of the game of Survivor.
Forget it. You're too late. You're already like you came at me like you know what you did, Rob. As Lauren said to Heidi on the Hills, you know what you did.
Yes. Well, Mike, all the best, okay?
Thanks. Bye.
All right, take care. All right, everybody, there you have it. Another satisfied customer here on Rob Has a Podcast. And I do feel bad. I did not mean to offend Mike White along the way with my podcasting. And I will recuse myself from any future discussions of the Emoji Movie on Rob has a podcast. All right, next up, let's take a moment and thank one of our sponsors, our friends over at Lisa Mattress.
Excuse me?
No, just kidding. Just kidding. Okay. No, we'll go right into another exit interview here. And that is going to be the beginning of our double exit interview portion of the podcast. As first up, we are going to talk to Kara and Angelina, and then we are going to talk to Davey and Allison together. But the first of those interviews is coming up, and we have Kara and Angelina on the line together. Good morning.
Hi, Rob. How are you?
Doing very good. I know this is a little complicated with two people on the line. So let me start to work through my Angelina questions, and then we'll go over to Kara questions. And if there's anything that either of you feel strongly about that you want to jump in, just let me know, okay? Okay. All right. Angelina, congratulations on making it all the way to the final three. And what a run it was. That I really felt like that after the first couple of Goliaths went down, I really did feel like that you were going to be the next easy target to go after. And you did a great job of rising from the ashes.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yeah, it was it was a journey, but it's one that I wouldn't change. It was fun. It was crazy. It was hard. It was everything that you would want from Survivor. And, you know, I woke up this morning just feeling really good about the result and just everything that I learned along the way.
Angelina, do you feel like that there was anything that you could have said differently in that final tribal council or framed differently that would have changed the outcome from last night?
You know, of course you replay it in your head. I mean, it's so interesting because every Survivor I talk to, all of us have these moments and these things that we dwell on and can hold on to. I'm sure you can relate, Rob. You know, you hold on to for the rest of your life. And so, of course, yeah, there's things that I thought about later, replayed in my head, thought maybe I should have, you know, been more explicit about how much Mike and I were co-collaborators, you know. But I think I kind of overcorrected the other way and took my foot off the pedal a little bit and didn't want to be seen as taking too much credit because I was aware that, you know, people were getting annoyed with me. You know, I see the eye rolls. I see the reactions. It's very obvious. And so, you know, going into that final tribal, I knew it was, I call it like a moonshot mission for me, like a very, very small chance that I would pull it out. But what I was hoping is that maybe like we would all split enough and I could, you know, eke out four maybe. But again, I knew it was a huge long shot, very uphill battle. And so basically, you know, and I felt that way ever since the Elizabeth scandal broke. You know, I knew that I just had so much damage control and had a cloud over my head. And so for me, it's like, I'm an eternal optimist. And so I convinced myself that if I just kept fighting and kept trying and was creative and savvy, you know, social and all those things, that if I got to the end, I could plead my case. But I think at that point, it was kind of a lost cause looking back on it all. But, you know, you got to keep trying to never give up in Survivor, and I never did.
If you had a vote between Nick and Mike, who would you have voted for, whether or not you were the Laurel tiebreaker or not?
First of all, Laurel had the hardest job out of anyone. So props to her. I can't imagine going through that. Yeah, it's awful. And thank God I didn't have to do that, because that would have been gut-wrenching, because both of them played incredible games. They played very different games. You know, I don't want to give you a political answer. I'll give you my straight answer. When I was out there in the moment, if I would have had to cast a tiebreaker, I probably would have gone for Mike. And I think part of that is because I saw a lot of agency in Mike's game. I saw a lot of influence, soft influence. And I really respected that. I was a little bit closer to his game, I think. A lot of the moves that Nick made, I did not see until watching it back. So in the moment, I think I would have voted for Mike, but having watched it back and seen that, you know, Nick was really crafty and he was really intentional and really smart too. And so I think now I would have voted for Nick. So, yeah.
Angelina, on the show, that it was kind of unclear what were the origins of any differences with Allison. As you saw it out there, what was their conflict over?
Yeah, so what happened with Allison is in the early days of Goliath, I clicked with her really, really well. I mean, she was one of my early favorites, someone I felt close to, someone I wanted to go to when I was having a hard day. And early on, you know, when there was that scene of us talking about women and idols and all of that, something I said to her was, hey, I feel like we're really similar. And, you know, I hope that we have a strong bond and kinship because of that. But I worry that because of that, we could become kind of, you know, mortal enemies. And I don't want that to happen. So let's stay close. And, you know, the tribe swap happened. We get to the merge. And I thought we would pick up right where we left off. But it felt like as soon as she had ammunition to launch at me, she did, you know, with the jury management comment at the Elizabeth vote, mm-hmm. or the next tribal where she said, I'm not buying anything Angelina's selling. And it kind of continued from there. Eye rolls, kind of mocking, talking mm-hmm. about me behind my back. Because people were telling me, you know, people give each other information out there. And,
sure.
and so I knew that she was just undercutting my game at any chance that she got. And some of that was depicted and some of it wasn't. But it was really hurtful. And it was really hard because, again, I hadn't done anything to incite it. And so I was a bit confused. And even with the vote where her vote was stolen, she called me a contingency plan. Whereas Kara and Alec, who actually voted for me, left me feeling not as hurt because they just said, yeah, we did it. It was the game. We're sorry, you know? And so anyway, so that's all to say it was weeks in the making. And me doing the idol, it was both strategic, or the fake idol was both strategic and emotional. I had explained to Mike and Nick that I did it because I wanted to protect Mike. Mike and Nick were my final three. I had made that clear several votes before. And the reason I did it is because if Allison thought she had the real idol, then I thought that she would vote for me because I knew I was her next pick off. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to keep my safe. I didn't think she would go after Kara at that point, and Nick had immunity. And of course, I wanted to play my idol correctly too, because that is a good move. It's good gameplay. So that was kind of my ideal scenario. But I think it was edited to highlight the more emotional side of it for maximum drama. But it really was mainly strategic and a little bit emotional.
Okay, let me get Kara involved here because I have a question for both of you in terms of at the final mm-hmm. five, after Davey had gone home, what was the idea there that the four Goliaths had sort of gotten back onto the same page, or was there still a division, Kara, prior to Nick winning the immunity challenge?
Right, okay, it was the final five, yeah?
Yes, before Nick had won immunity. Were you guys planning on voting out Nick had he not won the immunity challenge?
Oh, okay, yes. Not included yet. Sorry, I thought we were talking about babies. In the final days, it wasn't necessarily David versus Goliath. At that point, you have to just think of the final three and what's going to be best for each person's game. And it's so pivotal to win those immunity challenges because you are then in control of what your final three is going to look like. So I can agree with you in the sense that if Nick hadn't won individual immunity, he would have most definitely been a target because he played it, or at least in my opinion, Angelina and Mike probably would have said differently because they really had a bond with him and maybe they wanted to go to the final three with him regardless. But Mike and I did have conversations about not wanting to take Nick to the end. So it could have been a little bit different had Nick not won that. Sure.
Yeah, Angelina, if Nick did not win that final five immunity challenge, would he have gone out? If Nick had not won immunity at five?
From my perspective, I think his name would have been an option for sure. Obviously, it depends on who actually had the immunity. But everyone was at play, right? Everyone's up in the air at that point, and you have to be open. From my perspective, though, Nick was playing an extremely under-the-radar game. And so I think there were still people in the game at that point who were potentially bigger threats. And I think him getting those immunity necklaces at the end obviously gave him a lot of momentum to win over the jury. But yeah, at that point, he was playing a very quiet game. So he wasn't super on everyone's radar as it's seen, you know, on TV now.
Kara, if you had gotten into the final three and made that fire, do you feel like that you would have had the votes to win the game?
Who am I sitting next to?
Well, I guess in that scenario, you'd be sitting next to Angelina and Nick.
Gotcha. Oh, yeah. If I won fire, I got it. Done question. Yeah, let's let's see. So if I had one fire going into it, I would have had that docket on my resume, which is something that I wanted. Would I would have had enough votes to win? I haven't actually done the numbers because I'm still grappling with the fact that I lost fire. But truthfully, I know that there would have been some votes towards me, people have shared with me. But would it have been enough to win? Was my game more dynamic than Nick's? And Angelina's, I'm not 100% positive. It's something that we will never know, and something I will not spend a lot of time dwelling on.
Okay. We won't work on the math on that one. Was your vote close, Kara? Were you or was it Mike, and there was no doubt in your mind?
Oh, that I was going to vote Mike. I went in the final super open-minded, ready to hear out everyone's game. I love the fact that each person's game was so different, and you saw me kind of outline that and out what part, because social game was my favorite part of Survivor. I definitely went in there to hear everyone out, and granted, I was there for 38 days and watched Mike's game, and it was impressive to me the entire way. The more I kind of understood where his relationship lies, to me personally, it's the type of game in Survivor that's not the easiest to play, not easy to highlight. He kind of seems pulling for Mike in Final Tribal because he's not able, or he just didn't voice his opinion in a way where it was flashy. So along the way, the more he spoke, it solidified the fact that I really respected the game that he played and really wanted to see him as the winner. It feels to me like it's like the new age way of the Survivor game playing. Where you have to really manage the threat level while also making decisions, and I really think that he did a really, really good job of it.
Kara, there was a point in the episode last night where then Mike tells you about what Angelina is thinking about doing, and then you talk to Allison about, hey, why don't we put the votes on Mike? And I really thought that this plan was coming together. You went and talked to Nick in the episode about, hey, we should put the votes on Mike and take Mike out. And then ultimately, it's Allison who goes home. So why did you ultimately not want to go through with that move to vote out Mike at the final five?
Sure. So Nick and I came together, and it was like the first time we really had a brainstorm in the game and knew that we had to vote together for this to actually count and make sense. So we both of us had to look at our games who we wanted to sit at the final three, obviously. And looking at me versus Mike, they're two very similar games. So in that moment, I was thinking, man, this is going to be really tough for the jury to decide between the two, me and Mike, if you're really respecting the social game. Our games, our votes are going to be, very much split between the two. But then I, on the other hand, I had to look at me sitting next to Allison at Final Tribal, which the whole time in Tribal, you'll notice she just has this way of, her words are so eloquently spoken. And I just felt like in a Final Tribal, the way she was positioning her game, it just was, the threat level was like through the roof, and she had a lot of connections on the jury already. And so that was ultimately the decision that she had to go. You see me in the confessional, I'm like, I just know that I can't win a game against you. So when it really came down to it, I truly thought that my best position in the final three would have been against Mike being one of them, and Nick and Angelina one of the other two.
Angelina, did you know that that was a possible outcome at that final five?
Oh, definitely. Voting out Mike, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like I said, that was really my driving force behind the fake idol, was to try to protect him. But the other thing is, I did consider playing my real idol to protect him if needed. So I was trying to kind of keep as close of a pulse on where the vote may be going.
That's Allison's job.
Oh, the pulse check. I got you. Yes.
Sorry.
I love it. So I was trying to keep a tab on it. I think at one point in the afternoon, it was leaning towards Mike, but shifted, and Kara was, like you mentioned, the deciding vote there. Mm-hmm. And so, I was definitely considering saving Mike if need be. And part of that was, no underestimation of his game. Again, I recognize that he played a great game, but there are other realities of how people vote. And the fact is Mike is wildly successful And it is a strategy to take someone to the end with you who has had real life success because juries are less likely to cast a vote for them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that was at play too. And I just really loved Mike. You know, we were together since day one. We really did get close. I did not know he was saying so many crazy things about me behind my back. But, you know, it's a game. So yeah. It's all good. But yeah, I definitely, I knew about Mike.
I know you both have to run. Thank you so much. Hope that we have the opportunity to chat longer about all of this stuff. And then all the best. Congratulations on all the success in the game.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, take care.
Take care.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Karen, Angeline, a little tricky to manage these interviews with two people on the line at the same time, but we make the best and we get some good stuff from Kara and Angelina here the day after the finale. We got one more exit interview call to do, and that is going to be with Davey and Allison, and that is coming up next. But first, let me thank a sponsor for real here, and I want to take a moment and thank our friends over at Grays.com for sponsoring this episode of the Survivor Finale Exit Interview Podcast. Grays is a snack subscription service that delivers delicious, unique snacks to your work or to your home. Grays is great for me on a day like today when I'm really going to be on the go back and forth between different podcasts and I need to eat something quick that's not going to make me feel disgusting right after I get done eating it. And Grays is going to show you that they have the tasty side of healthy snacking down. You can try it for yourself for free when you use the promo code Rob at Grays.com. They are going to deliver the snacks directly to your work or your home, and they come in perfectly portioned packs, great for on the go and treating yourself without overdoing it. They've got savory combos, flapjacks, cookie dippers, over 100 different unique snack creations. Means that there's something new and different to try. Whether you're looking for something sweet, looking for nuts, looking for a different oatmeal cookies, they'll send you a whole variety of different snacks that you can try out. Things like cookies and cream, mini cocoa cookies, white chocolate buttons, chocolate fudge, sunflower seeds, honeycomb flapjack, which I really like, the rustic rolled oat flapjack with honeycomb and chocolate drizzle. When you sign up, all you have to do is rate and browse through all the snacks to help Grays handpick a personalized box to suit your preferences. And each snack is going to be approved by their in-house nutritionist and contains no artificial colors, flavors, or preservatives. So you can feel good about what you're snacking on. My wife is cuckoo for all of the Grays snacks that we've gotten. She hides them from our kids, doesn't let them know that we have them here in the house because she does not want to share. You won't want to either. Go to Grays.com, Graze.com right now to get your free trial box that includes their top rated and most delicious snacks. Use the special promo code Rob. That's at Grays.com. Promo code Rob for your free box of snacks. Okay. All right. We've got one last box of snacks for you guys here today because we have Davey Rickenbacker and Allison here on the line. Let's go ahead and patch them in. Davey and Allison, good morning.
Hey, hi. What's going on, man? A little hungover.
Still, Davey?
Yeah, man. Well, you know, I've been drinking some stuff, but yeah, well, you know, you saw me at it last night. We had a lot of fun.
Wasn't sure if you're going to remember. Yeah. Very nice to talk to you both. Allison, how are you holding up?
I am doing great. Soaking in the last bits of these moments.
Okay. All right. Well, let me just start off with a question for both of you. At the final six, ultimately, where Davey went out, I know that Davey, you were hoping that Allison would go out in that spot. Was there any talk of potentially working together when you both were not picked to go on the reward?
You know, me and Allison and Kara did have a moment there after the reward. And I probably maybe that's one of the flaws. We probably should have really sat down and discussed a better plan. But at that point, I thought I was secure with the three that were on the reward, even though I was at the bottom of it. I thought I was a little bit secure. So I think that security, you know, I maybe got me a little relaxed where I didn't really pursue too many options with Allison.
I think we did discuss it a little bit, but I also trusted Mike pretty wholeheartedly. We played the game from day two on together. So I knew that there was still more information to come when he returned from that reward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Allison, how surprising was it for you that you had put all this trust in Mike, but then you guys got into that altercation at that tribal council right before you went out when he talked about not having or keeping your dignity in the game?
Right. it was pretty shocking and pretty hurtful. I think that I wanted to play a class act game.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, that is what I did. I was very poised out there. I was very kind and empathetic. I'm sorry. But it hurt. It cut to the core. And it was that in combination with having a malicious big idol planted on me that I instantly sniffed out. And so day 37, after not having really eaten anything since the wraps, which I vomited up, after facing four prior tribal councils where I was in the crosshairs, day 37 was a brutal day. And that was just the capstone to brutality that I was facing. And you can really see in the jury's response that that was an ugly comment that felt really unwarranted. It seemed like in that moment, you know, Mike and I had played so much of the game together, and we do have such a profound friendship that in that moment, he just kind of snapped because it was day 37 and we were all fried and frazzled and exhausted. So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
It hurt, mm-hmm. clearly. It hurt still to look at that. Yeah.
Allison, you came back though, and you voted for Mike to win the game still after that. Was that just a testament to the bond that you had, or were you just not impressed with Angelina and Nick?
I think it was a combination of the two. I think number one, because we played the game so long together, I did see the brilliant strategy that Mike had. You know, I say that Mike was playing Survivor well enough that he never, other than day one with his idol search that didn't go well, he never had to sweat. He never had to worry about saving his own life. So he had the fun of just pulling the puppet strings to see how long could I save my Wonder Woman doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could see this really inspired social play. You know, from Christian onward, every single person except Davey thought that their number one person was Mike. And I think that that is remarkable that he had final two deals with everyone and was not held culpable for that in his end game.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what it took was a sincere apology, but also I just respected his game. You know, there is the idol plays, there are the immunity wins, and those are an important part of Survivor. But I think I love OG Survivor. I love Survivor that is human relationships, and that is what Mike did and excelled at. I do think Nick played an extraordinary game, especially watching it back. But as a player, I didn't feel it the way that many other people did. It's sort of that he was able to skirt under the radar by having, you know, Christian and myself and Davey as the threats that were preceding him. And so I did not appreciate how much he was behind the scenes, the same way Mike was calling the shots until I watched it back. So for me, it was a combination of knowing and understanding this beautiful game Mike played and not being privy to what a wonderful game that Nick was playing.
So, Davey, I want to go back to when you went out at the final six, and there was a moment, and it's something that I've never seen before on Survivor, when you stood up and you looked at everybody and you said, hey, whoever did this, you just got my vote, and it's up to somebody else to top this. And I thought that was a really cool, really gracious exit from the game. But then you voted for Nick to win the game. Did you feel like that Nick had topped Mike's move, or you just, no matter what, you couldn't vote against your guy, Nick?
No, 100%. I did that. I said that for two reasons. I wanted to read the room to see who orchestrated it, to which I did see it was Mike. And then secondly, I wanted to light a freaking fire under Nick's ass. These Goliaths are lying to you, dude. I need you to get in there, take them out one by one by one, win immunity after immunity after immunity, which he did, the only person on our season to win multiple immunities. And I wanted to light that fire under him. And I think that's why he was so mad at camp, because he was hurt. And his genuine relationship with me as his friend, and I'm so happy it happened the way that it did, and he pulled it out, and the prophecy of David versus Goliath was just so perfectly done.
Wait, so is this like when my wife says to me, look, just tell me what you did, I won't be mad, just tell me what happened, and then I say what I did, and then she gets mad at me anyway?
Yeah, that's 100% what that is.
This is some emergent gameplay, Davey. That was really great. You know, the other thing I was thinking about this morning as I was getting ready for this call was, you know, last week you had the opportunity to play that game where you would have had the immunity necklace for a couple of votes. And I know this was a blindside going into that vote, but have you looked back and said, boy, I wish I would have maybe tried to go for the immunity idol that would have been kept you safe for the future votes?
You know, on the list of things that I wish I would have done in the game, that's probably at the bottom of the list. But, yeah, the only reason that I did not play that game is because, you know, we were going for Nick, you know, and I got to give it to him. The fact that he did tell me all of that stuff in the right place at the right time, even though he confessed afterwards, if he would have confessed before, maybe I would have played that game. And, yeah, maybe I could have held on to that idol in day 36.
Yeah. You know, after that episode last week, it seemed like that when the Christian vote happened, it felt like that you and Nick were not on the same page. But then coming into this week's vote at the final six, it felt like that you and Nick were back on the same page and you guys were talking about, you know, how much you really liked each other. What did we not see after Christian got voted out where we saw Mike talking to Nick about, oh, yeah, Davey was trying to vote you out, and then he's part of that vote, that split vote to take out Christian, where you're voting with Christian?
Okay, so the edit lied. That happened in reverse. Mike told Nick about that before he came to confess to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so that's why I forgave him. You know, he told me that Mike told him about the plan and all of this and all that, which of course, he didn't, you know, tell me about the plan to vote out Christian, which I respect as well because, you know, Christian was my meat shield. And where was I going with that? And so yeah, I think that opportunity just left as soon as he came clean to me because we had such a genuine friendship and we knew that, you know, we both had done wrong to each other and we were just able to wash our hands of it and start anew.
Yeah. Davey, so tell me about Allison, where all throughout the merge, we heard Allison's the biggest threat. We got to get out Allison. Why was everybody so afraid of Allison throughout the post-merge game?
You know, I think we just had to pinpoint it on someone who wasn't, who was a challenge threat. I think that's what it was for me because, you know, we had gotten all of the Goliaths out, all of the other male Goliaths out who were challenge threats, not to take Mike's challenge win away from him, but Allison is she was the most physically threatening woman left on the Goliath side. So I think that's what it was, 100%.
Allison, do you regret winning that first immunity challenge?
I mean, of course not. What a beautiful moment. To tell everyone's Survivor bucket list to win an immunity challenge. So to be able to have that moment and then actually have them include in the edit a personal moment about me and my family and the bond that we share was extraordinary. I do think it is part of what put me in the crosshairs. I don't think that it speaks to everything that put me in the crosshairs. I think that there was huge jury threat that many people on the Goliath tribe, and it was a Goliath heavy jury at a certain point in the game, were sitting there and were rooting for me to win. So I think that was something that was lost in what was included of me. But I think at the end of the day, I had really strong relationships on the jury. And it was that combined with my like 5'11 Goliath figure and being a decently athletic person.
All right, Davey, let me ask you about a crackpot theory that came up last night on our recap. When you told Nick, hey, Nick, I went on the family reward. That's enough for me. I don't need any more rewards. We're good. Did you say that just so you could stay back at camp and look for idols?
100%. Now, little did I know, you know, production was going to move the reward right in the area where Angelina couldn't find the idol so that she could have some help finding the idol. But yeah, 100%. I wanted to get back in camp and find idol because that's what Davey Rickenbacker does for a living.
Find idols. all right. And then another crackpot theory that I had was that you seemed like you wanted to really keep Christian in the game. You called him your meat shield. Did you feel like that because you played an idol on him, that he was somebody that if you got to the end with him, the jury would have voted for you over Christian because you actually saved him with an idol?
You know, I think that I would have been able to sway a few of the jury members to believe that. Even Gabby. I think I would have gotten up there and been able to give Gabby credit for the moves that Kristen had been getting credit for, which is the reason that she was so mad in getting called out. I think 100% I had a better chance of getting to the final with Kristen than I did with Nick.
Mm-hmm. Now, Allison, so I know that that you had a nuanced game, that there were a lot of things that we didn't get to see in the edit from the episodes. Is there any one thing in particular that you feel like that you wish that they would have shown us to see at home?
There's a lot of really important moments that I could kind of stick to exactly, but I think at the end of the day, it is the relationships that I had. I think that one great example would be the relationship I had with Alex. I fought tooth and nail to keep him around, and I made an impassioned plea to Kristen to use me as a cautionary tale for what it looks like to not make the move soon enough. And I believe that that speech that I gave to Kristen laid the foundation for the Carl blind side, which the edit gave us from Gabby's perspective. But in the game, it felt like it was me saving myself, and it was the momentum I needed to save myself for 4 additional tribals. So my game was one of... It was a social game, and it wasn't an obvious social game. What it was is really genuine human connections, and then I would rely upon those connections to come to my bat because I didn't have idols. I didn't pull out the immunity victories that I needed. And so I think that if you could have used Alex's relationship as an example, but we could have done that with John. We actually could have done that with Elizabeth, who I connected with instantaneously and who respected and admired me sitting on the jury as Queen of Ponderosa.
Okay. I know you guys have so much going on today, so I know you got to run, but I really enjoyed talking to both of you. I would love to catch up later on after the season if you guys are up for some sort of longer chat like that.
You know, it's my dream.
I'm down for it.
Great. All right. Well, have a very happy holidays, and hope to talk to you both very soon.
Likewise. Take care.
All right. Bye. All right, everybody. There you have it. Our final 6. And boy, this was a real roller coaster of a final 6 exit interviews. Everybody was really good. Highs and lows, every emotion, happy, sad, really not happy. So a lot of great stuff here on the exit interviews. This might be my favorite batch of the exit interviews after the finale, I think, that we've ever done. So again, don't at Josh Wigler. This was really a fantastic round of the exit interviews here this morning. So thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre for the quick turnaround on all of these as I'm getting ready to catch up with Brett LaBelle later on this afternoon to go through everything from the finale. Only got to see him for a couple of seconds last night, so looking forward to catching up with all of his stories and everything as we close out David versus Goliath here today. Of course, thank you so much to the patrons of Rob's Podcast that make all of this nonsense possible week after week and day after day. Got to meet a lot of the patrons last night as well, so lots of fun stuff with them. If you want to find out more about what's going on with our patron program and the Rob's Podcast patron community, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/patron for more information. Thank you so much. Have a good one. Take care. Bye.